Scotty Stevenson with us, along with Andrew Saville. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
We should mention the lawn mowing situation this morning. Somebody rang up during the news. We're talking about lawns and we need to mow our lawns less because it's bad for the environment. And, of course, somebody rang up and said, of course, the boom in battery-powered tools is the answer to it all. So you get your battery-powered line trimmer, your battery-powered lawn mower, your battery-powered hedge trimmer, and it's all okay.
Why is it bad for the environment?
Because you burn up all the resources. You see what happens, you throw the petrol in the motor mower and you put fertiliser on and you use water you don't need to. And so what you need is you need ranunculus and a meadow-like look for your lawn.
That's why some of us have artificial lawn, Mike.
That's exactly right. And I am in doing that, not only making my yard pristine, I am saving the planet.
Yeah.
I do a biannual burn off. I just pour petrol over the whole thing and burn it off. I like to think I live in the Serengeti.
Dear. Now, the league, I watched. Did you watch, Sav? Did you watch the Tonga Samoa game?
Did I watch?
Whoa.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like that in this country. You know, you see it in South America and Europe with football, but the passion, the emotion, I'd love to have being the retailer who sold all those Tongan flags because they'd be able to retire now.
Yeah.
But also the start of it and the fact that the Tongans and Samoans met at their hotel late the previous night to work out how to take a lot of the sting out of what the fans were possibly going to do. So they got together in that huddle at the start of the game, which was brilliant.
Yeah, it was very good.
Can I correct you, Sav? The people who were causing that stink up last week are not fans. Let's be honest about these people. They are the
absolute minority.
Yeah, 100%. And we saw in the World Cup in 2011 when the Tongans arrived at Auckland Airport, that kicked off the tournament, didn't it? The convoy up the motorway, their welcome at the Papakura Marae. It was a wonderful occasion. This was another wonderful occasion of just how passionate Samoan and Tongan people are about their country, about their players in all sports, not just rugby league. And as for the dickheads during the week, they're not footy fans. They're just idiots.
Now, that's a very good point.
And then we had the game, of course, and Taumalolo was outstanding. Takiaho, who's also eligible for the Kiwis, outstanding. The game itself was fantastic, Mike. So
would you back us, Sumo, to beat Tonga this weekend?
I think you would have to, but gee, they're going to have to work hard for it. And if that is any indication of what the atmosphere was like for the Samoa Tonga game, if you're a New Zealand Rugby League fan, you'd be descending on this match because you are in for one of the great atmospheric experiences of your life.
I think
it's going to be a very tough task.
No, it will be too, because that's why I asked the question, because, I mean, you would have to think they probably would, but I wouldn't, you know, it's not a lay down Mazir, as they say. As far as the tournament's concerned, Sav, you're picking up a bit of buzz around this. I bought into that thing that no one cared, it wasn't interesting, and yet
I see
big crowds, I see genuine contests, and it's off.
I caught a bit of the PNG Island game last night, which was super tight. I think PNG won in the end, but again, amazing atmosphere, amazing scenes in Port Moresby. Without the Island teams, Mike, this tournament would be flat, it would be dull, it would be predictable, but they've certainly added a huge amount of flavour, and not only off the field but on it, they're playing some darn good football.
Exactly. Speaking of crowds, Sumo, I was watching some of the supercars yesterday, and those crowds at Pukekohe, you cannot deny that this is a country who loves engines.
Oh, no, it certainly does. It's always New Zealand's biggest sporting event is the Pukekohe Supercars, and once again turned on an absolute show, didn't it? Kiwi win is always a good thing as well. And I love the tension at the end because the rain had started to fall. There were all sorts of issues around whether anyone would change tyres. There were your usual array of crashes. And I think that racetrack is fabulous. I think it's one of the great racetracks. And long may it continue because people just love going out to Pukekohe for that weekend.
Yeah, because I'd watch in a year a bit of a good chunk of Bathurst. I happened to watch, I don't know why, a bit of the Gold Coast, and I watched a good chunk of that yesterday. Mm. And what I saw yesterday, apart from anything else, Auckland and therefore New Zealand gets a massive amount of promotion because they make a big deal with it in the coverage, and there's a lot of shots, a lot of talk, you know, and that's no bad thing.
Like you, I do watch F1 and probably more now that Brendan Hartley's racing, but, you know, and I enjoy motor racing, but I don't get a chance to watch a huge amount of it. But on Saturday, I found myself watching the support categories at Pukekohe because there was an amazing array of cars. There was truck racing. There were offs. There were crashes. There were incidents. It was riveting.
It's true, and yeah, I note that...
Did you just spend the weekend using the rectangular babysitter again?
Yes, you did.
While you sat on the couch and watched motorsport.
That's exactly what happened.
I need to buy more double A's for the remote, pal.
And Hartley and Bamber, of course, came second in Shanghai, so they've wrapped up the series. So he goes from F1 in Mexico... wraps up the championship in Shanghai, is off to, I can't remember, is it
Brazil.
RBW or Brazil? So it's Brazil. Then I think he's got the last race in Bahrain for the endurance cars. Then he goes to Abu Dhabi. I mean, and happy Christmas, Brendan Hartley. I mean, what a story, eh?
And I would imagine a full-time drive next year.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. We've focused so much on Scott Dixon over the last 5 years or so, or for a long time, in fact. Brendan Hartley, perhaps, must be sitting there thinking, oh, I probably deserved a little bit more coverage before I made it through to F1.
That's probably true. And he's got it now, though, which is good. Very excited, Sumo, for the football, for the soccer, the All Whites. Mm. And super excited that Rory Feldon's back, because he was one of the heroes of last time, if you remember.
Yeah, it's a bit back to the future, isn't it? I know a lot of football aficionados. I'm not one. But I've looked at a couple of selections of some of the older folk as a little bit of a head-scratcher. But, Rory Feldon is a proven competitor. And in a game like this, I think the All Whites could benefit immensely from a little bit of experience in crunch games. So we all remember the ride we took with the All Whites in 2010. And this is going to be a fabulous game. I believe it's a sellout. And, Peru going through their own issues at the moment away from the footy field.
Yeah, exactly. I just hope, Sav, that when Hudson goes, this is the best All White side we've ever named, that it doesn't come up and blow us up in the face when we lose 4-0.
Yeah. Although I think this is the first time in a long time, if ever, Tommy Smith, Winston Reid, Chris Wood are all fit, assuming they get off the plane today fully fit. So I think there's 12 or 13 guys in the team in that squad who have 20 plus caps. So there's actually quite a bit of experience in there, but they will play against Peru at a whole new level, a lot of these guys in the All Whites. Fitness is a massive key, but I think it's a good move getting Brockie and Fallon back in. Spoke to Anthony Hudson on Friday about it, and he said, look, we just need guys in there that will add a heck of a lot off the field that will lighten the mood and sort of some serious situations over in Peru especially, and just, add their voice.
I've not dealt with him, as he seems a very likable guy.
He is.
A likable guy. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, agree with
and that. And I've spoken to quite a few football people about him around the traps, and he's a meticulous planner, and they rate him. Look, if they make it to Russia or they don't, I don't think New Zealand football will hang on to this guy forever, put it that way.
No, because remember, what was his name? I've forgotten his name already, but last time we were at the World Cup and we did so well, and then everybody was going to snap the coach up. Remember, Ricky Herbert.
Ricky Herbert.
And he was going to get off his left, right and centre. Now, the Breakers, we haven't talked, Sumo, about the Breakers all year, really, and yet here they are leading the contest.
Wonderful. I was at their very first game this season at Vector Arena, and they did not look good. And all of a sudden, what are we now? Six on the trot? A wonderful, I don't even know if you can call it a turnaround, but something clicked very quickly. And, they're winning in different ways as well, which is what I really like about this Breakers team. They're grinding out wins, they're coming from behind, they're leading from the front. It doesn't matter how they're winning, they're managing to do it in every way you can on a basketball court. And I think that's got to be very pleasing for Paul Hinare. And the fact that his imports are really starting to gel too will be immensely satisfying for Dylan Boucher and the back office staff too.
And what I like about it, Sav, is that they went through that purple patch, that wonderful series of seasons, and then they sort of fell apart a little bit as sometimes. But they managed to seemingly to come back, rebuild,
come
and
back,
carry
yeah,
on.
Good management, good coaching.
Mm.
Looks like the imports they've got are good players too, which obviously helps.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the All Blacks the reason we haven't talked about the All Blacks is because I fail to get excited about festival games. I mean, it's fun and all that, but I mean, you don't want to go over analysing them, do you? And go, ooh, what does this mean for the rest of the tour? They're separate things, aren't they, Sumo? Don't you reckon?
Well, it was completely, bar a couple of players, it would be a completely different starting 15 against France this weekend.
Exactly. So, so what do we learn apart from it was a bit of fun?
I don't agree with that. And I think that came up in the post-match press conference when Steve Hansen rather bemoaningly said, it's a festival atmosphere. Well, you organised the game against the Barbarians. what else did you expect? I mean, whinging about that being a festival game is like whinging about wetting your pants in a comedy show. You went in there expecting to laugh. No. You got laughs.
Exactly.
Look, I think they showed some genuine vulnerability. Robbie Dean said as much. Mm. And I think there has been some subterfuge here in some of the post-match comments to take some heat away from that young All Black side. because they did not look polished, they did not look accurate, and the Barbarians, a team that had been basically having a good time for a week, managed to exert an awful lot of influence on that game against players who should have been better than that. And I'm sorry, I think you can take a lot out of that game, and what you can take out of it is that there's still lots of work to do for Steve Hansen and Foster and the All Blacks.
Well, I think one of the issues there is that there was a lot of guys in that All Black team not only playing for the first time together at that level, but also playing rugby for the first time in several weeks.
Yeah,
a lot of those squad members who don't start test matches don't play a lot of rugby, and it showed at Twickenham, I think, yesterday.
All right. We'll see what happens for the rest of the tour. Good to see you guys, as always. Scotty Stevenson, Andrew Saville, each and every Monday morning on the Mike Hosking Breakfast.